7 July is commemorated as the National Girls Education Day annually. Dr. John Gareng Dimabior declared July 7th as National Girls Education Day in 2004, and Dr. Gareng lit the candle on this day and said we should keep the candle for the girls' education burning. Now, one such instrumental project that has supported and kept girls in school is a UK-funded project, Girls Education South Sudan. And to find out how far we have reached with empowering the girl child and what milestones we have reached, I'm glad to be joined in by Zoe Hensby. She's the Deputy Development Director, UK Embassy, Emily Gray, Education Advisor, British Embassy, and Akuja Digarang, Team Leader, Girls Education South Sudan. Good morning, ladies. It is good to have you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. So, happy National Girls Education Day.
Thank you.
And to you too.
Right. So, 18 years since this day was declared official. I mean, where would you rate girls' empowerment in terms of education? I'll start with you, Akuja.
I would rate it as we've definitely made some progress in terms of what we see in regards to interest in girls or sending girls to school. However, we also know that there's still challenges out there that are preventing girls from remaining in school and learning and completing their education. Mm-hmm. So there's still a lot more to be done.
Right. Thank you. Zoe.
Yeah, definitely there's been a number of successes. So, for example, on girls' enrollment at school, we've seen a significant increase. Those figures have gone from 38% in 2014 to 48% in 2021. But as Akuja said, there's clearly so much more that needs to be done. We need to work on reducing those dropout rates, improving completion rates, and making sure that those learning outcomes are far more positive. And that's really important for helping to secure the future of South Sudan.
Right. Emily?
Thanks so much. I completely agree with what the others have said. Mm-hmm. I think other areas we also need to really tackle are early marriage and early pregnancy as well. And also making sure that we're addressing the issues particularly faced by girls living with disability. So where girls are particularly disadvantaged versus boys in terms of enrollment and staying in school, girls with disabilities are yet further disadvantaged.
Right, right. Thank you so much for that. Well, Girls Education South Sudan has been one of those instrumental projects behind Girls Education. Just update us on the latest. Where are you with regards to the project?
What I would say is that the success of Girls Education South Sudan has resulted in us being able to attract actually more donors. So there is more than the UK. Thanks to the UK, they started this, but we now have USAID, we now have the EU and Canada, who are all contributors and donors to the Girls Education South Sudan
right,
program.
Right.
We are now in ninth year of this of the phase one and phase two. We know that today we have over 800,000 girls who have received cash transfers in the second phase of Girls Education South Sudan, unique girls. Overall, we've made over 1.6 million payments to girls across the country. We've been supporting schools in terms of providing capitation grants to support improve the learning environment, and we do this together with the Ministry of Education. There's been some improvement as well in terms of the learning environment for all learners, including boys and learners with disabilities.
Right.
And we are garnering support continuously through our behavior change component as well, mm-hmm. to get communities and families to understand the importance of girls' education and to contribute and play their part in ensuring that all their children go to school, stay in school, and learn effectively.
Right. Thank you so much, Akuja. Yes, Zoe, how have you been able to help this project, fund this project?
Yeah, so the UK is really happy to be able to help design and set up this program, and it's great that so many other donors are working with us and that we work so closely with the Ministry of General Education and Instruction. Those two sort of key elements of providing cash transfers to girls, that supports girls in both primary and secondary school. And those cash transfers are used for really important things, helping to address some of those barriers that actually stop girls going to school. Things like transport to school, uniforms, sanitary pads, etc. And those capitation grants, which are for secondary schools, are really supporting improved learning environments. And we've supported nearly 4,000 schools across the country. The program's also running training for teachers and school management committees, and in doing so, helping to build their skills.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much, Emily. You are the education advisor. So how would you rate the journey that South Sudan still has ahead?
Do you mean kind of out of 10 or give a general comment?
Well, just a general comment and what can be done to make things better?
Yeah. So I think, as we've said at the start of the program, you know, there definitely has been a journey, and you're right to call it that. You know, we've gone from a place where girls' education has been historically deprioritized and girls have not had that opportunity to go to school. Mm-hmm. And my colleagues shared those enrollment figures and the major changes that have happened. But still, we are in a country where more than half of children overall, including boys, are still out of school. And that needs to change. And the major things that need to happen are ensuring that the public education system has the adequate funding that it needs, both in terms to pay its teachers a living salary that comes on time, and also that we have enough school facilities. So many schools aren't able to offer the full cycle of primary, and then there are not enough secondary schools for primary school children to move up into. So those are two of the key challenges that really need addressed going forward.
Right, and just before I give you a chance, Zoe, Emily, well, we have seen projects that, I mean, in the beginning you said in a country where girls are disadvantaged when you compare them, when you compare the two, boys and girls, but we have also observed that there are very many boys who are out of school. But now, if more focus is put on boys, on girls living out the boys, don't you think there would be, this would culminate into a catastrophe in the future?
You mean if we are only supporting
because
girls and not
more,
boys?
More efforts in keeping the girl child in school, and the boy seems to be out of the picture.
So I don't agree with that. So I think the things that the JESS program is doing is, first of all, we're providing cash transfers to girls, yes, and not to boys. However, all of the other support that the program does, so behaviour change, the work that we're doing through capitation grants to schools, the training for teachers and for school communities, for school leadership, all of that benefits boys as well. And I also want to highlight that this is not the only support that the UK is giving. So we are also supporting education through Education Cannot Wait. And this is the Global Fund for Education and Emergencies. And they have a current programme of $30 million over 3 years. And what they are doing is addressing really key issues in areas of high deprivation. And we're also investing through the Global Partnership for Education, which is a really major global fund. And they have given $90 million over the time that they've been operational in South Sudan. And again, that is addressing the issues for every child at the systemic level. So trying to improve the entire education system. And for example, one of the major successes we've had with both of those programs is that together they delivered last year more than 6 million textbooks. So again, that's benefiting all children. Right. So yes, we need targeted support for girls, but we're addressing across the whole piece as well.
Okay, thank you so much. Yes, Zoe.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on what more can be done. At the end of June, we saw the launch of the revised National Development Strategy, and it was really encouraging to see the emphasis that's been placed in that strategy on the services sector, so on education and on health. And one thing that's very clear in that strategy is that the efficient use of public spending is really critical for the education sector. And we have seen that government has stepped up its allocations to education, but we really must ensure that those allocations actually take effect and are executed. Other key things in that strategy include the need to strengthen institutions at the national, at the state and the local level, to build that infrastructure for the education sector. We know that a lot of schools were damaged or destroyed during the war years, and also to invest in teacher training. Unfortunately, and it's quite sad, that only 37% of teachers across the country are fully trained and qualified, and that's something that definitely needs to be addressed.
Right. Yes, it is. Thank you so much. Akuja, what has been the impact of girls' education in South Sudan to the lives of the South Sudanese girls?
Apart from the figures that Zoe mentioned earlier, we clearly, of course, we've seen the increase in enrollment. I think that many times when I'm asked these questions, what really comes to mind is when I speak to the girls and in term, you know, where we came from as a project. And at the beginning, they did not believe particularly that there would be a program such as JESS that would really look out for their interest.
Right.
And one of, apart from the kind of the material benefit of the cash itself, what I've seen is the confidence that the girls have kind of acquired through that. You know, apart from the fact that they understand that someone cares, people out there care, they've gained confidence in terms of being able to speak up, to learn better, you know, and that for me is also a intangible, tangible impact of the program.
Wow.
And we now have one actually learner who was previously a beneficiary of the Girls Education South Sudan. Her name is Anyet. You might have heard of her.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, she was among the top in the secondary school examinations, and she's now progressed on to university and has recently written a book.
Wow.
And become an author, and she still speaks very highly of the program. So we're very proud.
What a success story.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so what activities have been set aside for this day? Are there any?
Yes, there are activities happening. What I know that is the ministry with other partners are holding events in Jongole State, in Bor, and in Rumbek to celebrate this day. And the theme for this year is about creating a safe and enabling learning environment for girls. And particularly the message behind that is that, yes, we know that girls are going to school, but we know that they're still not safe in terms of their journey to school. They're not safe at home, and they're not safe in school. So there's still issues that we have to deal with it to ensure that the girls are learning in a safe environment.
Right. Yes, Emily, how can South Sudan provide this safe and enabling environment?
So I think the main element of that is ensuring that we have qualified and well-trained teachers who are able to undertake their roles. Especially female teachers, but also male teachers, play such a major role in girls' education.
Mm.
Girls need role models. And one of the major things we hear is that if you can see it, you can be it. And so if girls see empowered women teaching them in the classroom, then that gives them something that they can aim for and believe that they can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Many of these girls will be the first of their entire family to ever go to school. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And so it really is important that those role models are there to support them. So for me, that is the biggest thing that we can do.
Right, ladies, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today. What would your final message be? I'll start with you, Zoe.
Yeah, I'd say let's keep that candle burning that Dr. Garang lit all those years ago. Let's make sure that the revised national development strategy becomes a reality. And that's really important so that every girl across the country can access quality education, reach their full potential, and help South Sudan as a country reach its full potential too.
Right, Akuja?
I would say, yeah, to remind the girls that despite perhaps my accent sounds as if I'm not South Sudanese, I'm South Sudanese, and I'm one of those girls.
You are Akuja
Di Garang. Yes. And just to say to the girls out there listening, it can happen. I'm not saying I'm a role model, but I was where they are today,
right.
And I'm here today. So just keep going. There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Thank you so much, Akuja. Emily?
I would say the girls that I meet when I visit schools, they want to become doctors, pilots, nurses, lawyers, and South Sudan needs them to succeed. And all of us have a role to play in ensuring that they can. And we must for the future of South Sudan.
That's right. Emily, Zoe, and Akuja, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.